This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a wonderful day to be in the house of God together, a day when we remember and celebrate the gift of baptism in our lives. So I'm glad that you're here this morning. I'm especially glad to welcome you if you're visiting with us this morning. We hope that you have a chance to meet some of the friends sitting around you, and we would love for you to join us in Reed Hall after the service, which is just out this doorway. There will be folks there to talk with you and answer any questions you might have about the church. If you've been visiting for a little while, or if after today you feel like you might want to make this your church home, we would love for you to come to our Sunday school class that starts next week and runs for 4 weeks. We call it West End 101, and we meet down in McWhorter Hall, which is just below the sanctuary. We'll start at 9:30 at the welcome desk. There's also a tour of the building on that day, and then Sunday school at 9:45 in McWhorter Hall. If you are a college student, we're glad that you're here this morning and would love to invite you to join other college students for lunch right after the service. Also, that group will gather in Reed Hall just outside of this door. Tonight, our youth gather, as usual, from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m., and if you are in 7th through 12th grade, please come and join us. Dinner is provided for $5, and it's small group time with other youth of the same age, and it's just a wonderful way to pray together and be together at the beginning of the week. Just a reminder that tomorrow the office will be closed in honor of Martin Luther King Day, and we hope that you will find many ways to celebrate this day and to honor his legacy in our community. I believe that's it for our announcements this morning, but now we continue in a spirit of worship as we hear the story of Jesus' baptism and the voice that spoke to him at the moment of his baptism. May we open ourselves to hear that same voice, claiming us as beloved children of God.
voice of the Lord, strong and mighty, powerful and full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks forth.
He gives us strength and blessing, causing us to shout, "Glory to the name of the Lord."
A prophet appeared in the wilderness, calling the people to repent, be baptized, and prepare the way of the Lord. We return to the water to confess our sins, giving thanks for the grace of Jesus Christ. God of all glory, you look from heaven and see us as we are, not worthy to kneel at your feet, not ready to welcome your way. Forgive us, gracious God. In Christ, stoop down to save us. Loosen the ties that bind us to sin and set us free to love and serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hear the good news of the gospel. As a voice from heaven said to Jesus, so God says to each of us, "You are my beloved child, and with you I am well pleased. In Jesus Christ we are forgiven. Thanks be to God." As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. A lesson from the Gospel of Mark. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts with honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. I invite all the children to come forward and meet me up here for just a moment. See all of y'all here this morning. You may have noticed as you were sitting in your pews or as you were walking forward that we have something different up here on the altar table this morning. Look like bowls of water with little glass beads in them. What is that about? Well, this morning we just heard the story of Jesus' baptism. And we're going to spend some time in worship together thinking about baptism. Now, not everybody who's here today has been baptized yet. Maybe some of you were baptized when you were babies. Maybe some of you haven't been baptized yet. But that doesn't really matter. What matters is what the baptism means, because it's true for all of us. When Jesus came up out of the water after he was baptized, the voice of God spoke and said, "This is my child. I love him." And that is exactly what God says about each and every one of us. God says, "You are my child, and I love you." And so toward the end of the service, we're all going to have a chance to come forward. It doesn't matter if you've been baptized yet or not. We want you to come forward. And you'll be able to reach into the bowl and get one of these glass beads for your very own. And you can take it with you. I have mine in my robe pocket, and I feel it all the time. And it's a reminder to me that God loves me no matter what. Nothing will ever change that, ever, ever, ever. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for baptism. Because it reminds us every time we see someone baptized, every time we talk about baptism, it reminds us how much you love us. Help us to remember that nothing will ever change your love for us. Thank you so much. We love you too, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much, and I hope you'll come back when we all do to get our beads from the water. Way back in the 1950s, there was a detective show on television called Dragnet. That was a little bit before my time, but I did see some reruns in my childhood, enough to know that the main character's name was Joe Friday. Not a perfect name for a detective. And he had a catchphrase. Anybody remember his catchphrase? Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. It was the 60s, apparently. Still a little before my time. Just the facts. He would go to a crime scene and investigate, you know, what was happening, and someone would start talking, talk, and he would just cut them off. Just the facts. That's all I want. Sometimes I think about Joe Friday when I'm reading the Gospel of Mark. There's something about the way Mark tells the story of Jesus that sounds a little bit like Joe Friday, just the facts. Mark was probably the first gospel written. It is the shortest, and it is as if he wants to get as much down on paper as he can. Just enough for us to know that Jesus is the Son of God. In fact, that's how his gospel begins. Verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Son of God. Boom, he says it all in one verse. And then the curtains open on the gospel, and the very first thing we see is Jesus about to be baptized. Now, we've just come through this season of Christmas where we have looked at Luke's gospel and heard the birth story of Jesus in Luke's gospel. We've read Matthew's story of Jesus' birth and the wise ones who came to visit Jesus then, but not Mark. Mark doesn't tell that whole story. Mark wants us to think that the story of Jesus begins with baptism. The story begins with baptism. Now, when Mark tells a story, because he is a man of few words, because he has carefully chosen what to tell us, just the facts, just what he thinks is most important, I want to lean in a little more closely and pay attention to every word that Mark chooses and consider how it is that he tells us the story. And it's when I was leaning in and reading this story of Jesus' baptism carefully that a word jumped out at me. It's a word that only Mark uses in the telling of this story, and that's why I think it's important to Mark that we pay attention. It happens in that moment when Jesus is coming up out of the waters of baptism. All the Gospels tell this story in one way or another. Jesus is coming up out of the waters, and the heavens open, and the Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven says, "You are my Son, the Beloved. In you I am well pleased." Now, when I think of the heavens opening, when I imagine the scene in my head, I think of the clouds gently parting, you know, and the Holy Spirit drifting down like a dove, but not according to Mark. According to the way Mark tells the story, Jesus comes up out of the water and the heavens are torn open. It is a very vivid, almost violent word, torn, schizomenous, as if a piece of fabric would be torn, or we tear into a package to get to the middle of it. That makes me imagine that God, the loving parent in this scene, is tearing through the heavens to get to Jesus and to say to him, "I love you. You are my beloved child, and I am so pleased with you." And God is so anxious to speak that word of love to Jesus that God tears open the heavens to get to him. I wonder if we realize that that very same thing happens in every baptism. If you have been baptized, in that moment when you were baptized, the community of faith was recognizing the fact that God tears through the heavens to come to you and say, "I love you. You are my beloved child. In you, I am well pleased." Can you believe that that is true for you? I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to believe that. I mean, it's easy to think that God would speak that word to Jesus. Jesus is the perfect Son of God. He is without sin. Of course God loves him and is well pleased with Jesus. But I will remind you, according to the way Mark tells the story, Jesus hasn't done anything yet. This point in Mark's gospel, Jesus hasn't even spoken a word. He hasn't called his first disciples. He hasn't taught anyone. He hasn't healed anyone. It is before he does any of that that God pronounces him beloved and delightful. Maybe that's a reminder to us, too, that it's not about what we do or what we have achieved or what we haven't done. This is where the story begins for Jesus and for us, with God telling us that we are beloved. Maybe someone will say, well, I don't know. I can see God saying it to Jesus. I can even see God saying it to a little baby. At the 8:45 service, we baptized little Millie Kate Hollett. She was the one who played baby Jesus on Christmas Eve. I mean, did you see how perfect she was? Just this cherub little face. Of course she is beloved of God. She is innocent and sweet, and I guess we could ask the Hollets about that, but it's easy to imagine that God would pronounce a baby beloved and delightful. But I don't know about me. I mean, I know what I've done. I know the way I think about things. I know the patterns of behavior that I fall into again and again and can't seem to get myself out of. And so often I walk around in my life imagining a God who is just waiting for me to get it together before that God will really love me. A God who looks upon me with a little bit of judgment and maybe even disappointment. Is that the image of God that you carry around? Then, my brothers and sisters, come with me to the waters of baptism. Let us each be reminded that our God looks upon us as beloved and precious children, and that you and I are pleasing to God, not because of what we've done or haven't done, but because we are God's precious children. And nothing will ever change that. There's one other place in the Gospel of Mark that the writer uses that word schizomenus, tear. It's at the end of the story, when Jesus gives up his spirit on the cross, the curtain in the temple is torn in two. And there is now no longer anything to separate us from the love of God. Now, God's been trying to tell us that from the very beginning. Jesus said, God so loved the world that God sent the only Son. The Apostle Paul said, there is nothing that will ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor anything else in all creation will ever separate you and me from God's love. And that's where the story starts. We come here each year to touch the waters of baptism and remember that we are beloved. We come here every Sunday and hear that good news again and again, I hope. And then we go out into the world because that's our mission, to tell everybody else that they are beloved children of God, that whoever you are, no matter what you've done, God is tearing open the heavens to tell you, I love you. But let us come back to the starting place today. In a few moments, we're going to invite you to come and touch the waters of baptism. and take for yourself one of these glass beads as a reminder. Now, sometimes when we do this, we invite you to come forward and one of us, pastors, will touch your forehead with the water. Sometimes we do it that way. But this morning, I'm inviting you to reach out and take it for yourself. Because it really is the work of a lifetime to accept God's love. Let it start today with you receiving a bead and saying, I am your beloved child, God. You are delighted with me. And see if that truth doesn't change everything. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. And so I would ask you, my brothers and sisters, to stand as you're able and join with me in reaffirming our faith together. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, will you say, I do?
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, say, I do.
I do.
You may be seated. This is the water on which God breathed and the Spirit brooded when God began creating us, all creeping things, all races, male and female.
This is the water that drove up the trunk of the tree whose branches bore the fruit we weren't to taste.
This is the water covered the earth deeper than the Himalayas when God wanted to start over. This is the foot of the rainbow that's meant to tell us God won't destroy creation again.
This is the water of the river Jabbok, where Jacob still wrestles with God.
This is the well where Joseph was left for dead by his jealous brothers.
This is the water that opened at Moses' command when God led God's people out of slavery. This is the water by which Miriam and the women danced the rhythms of liberation.
This water sprang from rocks in the desert when the people started whining to go back to the way things used to be.
These are the salty tears King David shed when Nathan accused him of the worst sin. These are the tears he shed when he pleaded for God's forgiveness and got it.
These are the waters of Babylon by which our ancestors sat down and wept, their harps and tongues silent for homesickness.
And this is the water that broke in a barn in Bethlehem.
Out of this water, John pulled a stunned Jesus in the River Jordan, the day they saw the dove and heard from deep within the voice that said, "You are my beloved, in you my heart sings for joy."
This is where those men heaved and hauled nets until love came to town and called them to even harder work for less pay.
This is the water that became wine at a wedding in Cana.
Peter sauntered on this water and then sank and then was rescued, setting the pattern of a disciple's life.
This is the well in Samaria, where Jesus chatted unchaperoned with the so-called disreputable woman. This is the living water that quenched her thirst forever and restored her dignity.
This is the spittle that came from his mouth when he restored hearing to those who could not hear, when he restored sight to those who could not see.
This is the water he used to cut the wine at his last meal.
These are the tears that fell that last night in the garden.
This is the sink that Pilate used to wash his hands after passing the death sentence.
And these are the wet faces of the women whose grief at the cross could not be quenched.
This is what Jesus thirsted for at the hour of his death.
This is the tomb from which Christ blasted. This is the opening. This is the way.
This is the water that binds us to him when shame and sin and death are destroyed. This is the water that reminds us who we are and whose we are.
We invite you now to come forward as you feel led, to touch the waters of baptism and remember your belovedness. We would invite you to come forward by way of the center aisle. Those of you in the transepts will have someone standing here at the center aisle for you at the beginning. After touching the waters and receiving a bead, you're welcome to come and kneel at the altar rails and stay as long as you would like in a time of prayer, renewing your covenant with God. Also, if you're unable to come forward, Becky will be making her way around the sanctuary with a bowl of water, and you just need to let her know and she will come to you where you are. Let us come to the river.
Thank you. As we continue our worship, I'd like to lift up the joys and concerns of the church. We celebrate the birth of Phineas Ralph Waltz, who was born December 17th in Cincinnati, Ohio, to Brian and Celine Waltz. He's welcomed also by his grandparents, Melody and Rich Waltz. And our sympathy is extended to two families this morning. We mourn with Erin Racine at the death of her grandmother, Alice Fitzgerald, who died Tuesday, January 9th. Services were held yesterday in Big Rapids, Michigan. And we grieve with Ellen Hobbs Lyle and the death of her mother, Joanne Hobbs, who died Saturday, January the 6th. Services have been rescheduled from yesterday to next Saturday, January 20th, with a visitation in Reed Hall at 1 p.m. and services following at 2 p.m. here in the sanctuary. Let us continue to turn to God in prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Holy God, we thank you for the love and grace you give through your Son, Jesus. Today, as we remember that Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan so long ago, we are grateful to share in his baptism. Open our hearts to receive this gift, a sign of your love in Jesus being extended toward us. You poured out your Spirit upon him. May your Spirit overwhelm and empower us. Inspire us with the same Spirit that empowered Jesus to heal the sick and free the captives, so that we will bring health to the sick, your encouragement to the discouraged, and your promise to the dying. You called Jesus by name. Help us to hear your voice today, to hear you call each of our names. You walk with us through the challenges which surround us. Wash away our anxiety by your promised presence, and set us free from despair. You spoke of your love for your Son, Jesus. Help us to know the unconditional love you have for all of your children. You bring reconciliation to those who are divided. We pray for better relationships between our nation and the nations of the world. Strengthen us to be peacemakers. You said that you were pleased with Jesus. Help us to hear you bless us, to know you find pleasure in us, to know you delight in our hearts, minds, and bodies. Enable us to trust your baptismal promise and serve this hurting world, to bring about the promises you gave us in the prayer you taught, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." As a people who have passed through the waters of baptism, let us make our grateful offering to God, our Redeemer.
reminded of God's love for us. We have just said to God, "Here's my heart. Take and seal it." Let us go out into the world and bear the good news of God's unconditional love to all people. In Christ's name, amen.